It's a classic American brand, sold in the U.S. for decades, but it is caught in a somewhat of a trade war between the U.S. and EU. Harley Davidson has said that it will move some production overseas due to increased costs from the EU's retaliatory tariffs against the Trump administration's duties on steel and aluminum. In this edition of the talk, we'll look at whether Trump's trade tariffs are backfiring against them by having companies move out of the U.S. We'll also look at whether the EU and China are now in the same camp, united against the U.S. and the U.S. President Donald Trump. First, let's cross on over to Washington and talk to our correspondent Colin Campbell, who joins us. Well, Colin, we understand that U.S. President Donald Trump went on somewhat of a rant on Twitter against Harley Davidson, that it's going to incur massive taxes on that company or on that manufacturer were it to produce its bikes overseas. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I'm just outside of the White House right now, where you have workers out here, as you can see right behind me. Cement trucks are passing by. You have lots of construction going on. But at the same time, these workers are very concerned over the trade war, the impending trade war that the Trump administration has been launching. And that's because of the materials that may cost more to manufacture. We already heard the announcement coming from Harley Davidson that they would have to move some of their manufacturing responsibilities overseas, which you just alluded to. But this could be just the beginning of several factories that may have to move overseas because of trade tariffs. And what this also does is it further isolates the U.S. when it comes to economic policy. Many trade analysts and policy wonks are saying that this could create problems over time, where it could force the American consumer to only buy American goods, and that prices may go up as a result of that. It also closes off the U.S. to other countries. And then this will create problems and more economic disparities within the country itself. So right now, this is something that the Trump administration thinks it can win. Earlier this year, President Trump tweeted that trade wars are good and that they're easy. But after the Harley-Davidson announcement and concerns coming from consumers and trade policy analysts, they're saying this could be anything but easy and that we may not know the long-term effects until way further on down the line.
Thank you very much for that. That's, of course, Colin Campbell talking to us from Washington, D.C. Well, let's get an analysis on this. Veterans Today financial editor Mike Harris joins us from Minneapolis. Mike Harris, welcome. You know, Harley-Davidson is a classic American brand here. First of all, tell us exactly what has happened, because it's not exactly as if this was something that's a new development regarding it moving its manufacturing, perhaps, overseas. But you tell us what exactly has gone down here.
Well, I'm friends with a board member of Harley-Davidson. First of all, let me, in the spirit of full disclosure here, I haven't consulted with him about this yet, but I will. What Harley-Davidson is trying to do is get around any reprisal tariffs from the Europeans that may be coming. They've already announced they're going to put tariffs on Harley-Davidsons and whiskey. They're trying to get around it. There is no labor advantage to manufacturing in Europe because the labor rates are as high or higher than the U.S. They just want to sell more bikes because their market segment within the U.S. has been declining. They've reached market saturation here. Everybody who wants a Harley pretty much has one, and so they're looking to expand in other markets. They were going to make this move regardless.
Okay, let's bring in criminal defense attorney and former CIA officer Jack Rice, who joins us. Jack Rice, welcome. Looking at this move by Harley Davidson, first of all, tell us your reaction to that, and also where its plant is located. That's Trump land, from what we understand. Does that affect Trump's supporters?
Well, actually, it doesn't shock me. I mean, it doesn't shock me that you have any organization, any business that decides the best way to expand and to reach into new markets and potentially to avoid tariffs is to move in those directions. I mean, that's not something that is new in any sense of the word. You can look at Donald Trump himself, and with some of the manufacturing and the sales of his own merchandise, much of it was produced overseas. So I understand that you'll see American companies who will wrap themselves in the American flag, but at the end of the day, it's not about the red, white, and blue. It's about the green. It's about the dollars that they're trying to make in the United States, and this is one piece of that. So the president shouldn't be shocked that Harley Davidson or anybody else actually does it too.
Well, Mike Harris, what about the fact the way Trump has actually dealt with this? He is threatening Harley-Davidson if it moves operations overseas. Quotes, they will be taxed like never before. Do you think he's taking the right approach by using that threatening tone?
Well, personally, I don't. And if Trump wanted to take the right approach to getting U.S. companies or other companies to repatriate their manufacturing back to the U.S., I take the example of Apple Computer, who makes 100% of their iPhones in China. What really Trump should do is say any products not manufactured in the U.S., regardless of where they're from, are going to have some sort of tariff. And whether it's 10% or 50%, I don't know what the number is. But if you want to ablate the advantage of Chinese low-cost labor or Mexican low-cost labor, you put a tariff on those countries about everything that's manufactured there, regardless of what label on it. I don't care if it's General Electric or Apple Computer or Harley-Davidson or Chevrolet. If they make the part or the system, whatever, imported into the country overseas, tax it, and that will encourage U.S. manufacturing. It will diminish the advantage of low-cost foreign labor and bring that advantage back to U.S. labor markets and bolster U.S. wages. That's how Trump can do this. Now, the other issue that's at play here is the concept of what we call fair trade. This free trade thing has been an unmitigated disaster for the U.S. workers. Free trade, we've exported all of our manufacturing base when Bill Clinton committed the treason of allowing, signing NAFTA, GATT, and letting China into the WTO. That was a disaster for American working class. This can all be undone by some really clever things, and that is reciprocal trade. So if China has a 25% tariff on a U.S. car, whatever products we get back from China, we tax at the same rate. And we just mirror image whatever their tariffs are in order to level the playing field across a number of areas. This may seem rather simplistic, but will be rather effective. If you want to eliminate tariffs on your markets and in our markets, then let's treat each other on equal footing and treat each other fairly. So okay. that's another set of approaches. I applaud Trump for what he's done on this.
Okay, well, let's take the theme here of what's our guest there has said, Jack Rice, what Mike Harris said in terms of, let's say, parts. If they're manufactured overseas and they're going to come back into the States, tax it. He says that's going to, increase perhaps wages, if I understood you correctly, Mike Harris. But if that happens,
it diminishes the advantage of cheap foreign labor, is what it does.
Tariff
to it when it comes back in the country.
Right, it does do that, and then that translates into the cost. But if you then tax it, wouldn't the end user, the American consumer, be the ones who are losing out on this, Jack Rice?
Absolutely, they are. Yeah, absolutely. That is actually the point. You take a look at what's going on with the tariff question right now. Here's what we have. We see market instability on the one side, and you're also seeing an increased cost for the consumers inside of the United States. The estimate right now is that if you see the response from the Chinese, the Europeans, the Canadians, and the Mexicans, they estimate there's going to be 4 million Americans who will lose their jobs. You will also see an estimated 3 million more that won't get jobs because you won't see job growth. So those issues actually exist. And the problem is in a very simplistic economy where you're going country to country to country in isolation, what it ignores is the trade that's going on back and forth with the United States and the entire world. If you do this on this side, it comes the other direction at the U.S. I mean, I hate to get big picture here, but think of it like this. You look at post-World War II, one of the reasons that the United States did the Marshall Plan in Europe, yes, was it about humanity? Of course it was. But frankly, what it was about was stability and the ability for the U.S. to create stable markets. And they have used those stable markets for their benefit. If what the U.S. does now is create massive trade walls and trade wars with our biggest trading partners, and we are with all four, with the Europeans, the Chinese, the Canadians, and the Mexicans, what this will do in the end is ultimately hurt the Americans, because the recession will come for all of them, but it will come for the Americans as well, because we can't trade with them, we can't sell to them, and we won't be buying from them. Either ways, we sit around looking at each other saying, we won, right?
Mike Harris?
Well, I like Mr. Rice's points, and I'm glad he brought these up. But the American consumer does not suffer, not in the long run. And the reason he doesn't suffer is that any income that the government receives from tariffs, which, by the way, are the only lawful constitutional means for the U.S. government to fund itself, is through tariffs, not taxation of income. You can lower income tax rates even further by using the money from tariffs to supplant what the workers pay in higher prices for foreign goods, or they can buy American-made goods. Now, the goal here is not to have Apple Computer make all their iPhones in China. The goal here is to make Apple Computer manufacture their iPhones, which are consumed in the United States, in the USA. And that benefits people. That helps the workers, because it drives wages up for the first time in almost 50 years. That's a net benefit for the USA, and particularly for the American workers, in two folds. Number one, it creates more jobs, and number two, it drives higher wages, which have been stagnant for so long here, due to both the offshoring of U.S. jobs as well as the influx of all the illegal immigrant low-cost labor that's been coming in. It's really, really hurt the American citizens here deeply.
Okay, Jack Rice, I see that you do have a reaction.
But, Mike, you don't have a balance on that issue. Yeah, you don't have a balance on this issue, because I can show you farmers in the Midwest where I am. When you're talking about pork products being sold to the Chinese, you're seeing an increase now of somewhere in the neighborhood of 25% or more. I can take you into Iowa, where you're seeing farmers who are creating massive wheat products that were actually going there as well. There was a reason that the United States and President Trump actually chose their governor to be the U.S. ambassador to China, because he thought of that connection would be valuable. But what you are seeing as a result of this are very direct hits, very direct hurt that is taking place in the American workforce and American business. This is not a short-term question. This is potentially a long-term question. And the question with that is that if we end up in recession, can we dig our way out based upon the fact that we have zero interest rates right now, which is one of the ways we do it. And the other way is about spending more money, which the Republicans won't. So if we're talking about a recession, we're going to be in a very, very difficult place. You can talk to almost any economist on the planet on that question, and they're all saying the same thing. That's why so many people are nervous.
Well, Mike Harris, I think we're talking about a few different issues here. We're talking about perhaps the possible trade war, which many say are a trade war, with China, and how the American farmers have taken a hit. We're talking about how the EU has imposed these tariffs, of which, Harley-Davidson has reacted to. And also, there's a very important point that Jack Rice is pointing out to, which is a combination of both, amongst the other trade wars or possible trade wars, Mike Harris, and that is the loss of American jobs. If I got you correctly, Jack Rice, I think you said 4 million jobs. I read it was 400,000 jobs, 10 less. But whether it's 400,000 or 4 million No. U.S. jobs, that's a lot of jobs. Mike Harris, are we looking at that many U.S. jobs being lost?
Well, actually, I don't think we are. I think if we handle this correctly, we're going to have a net gain of U.S. jobs. In fact, I'm sure that we will. I think that the path that we've been on for a long time is the wrong path. And let me reiterate that globalism is communism, just wrapped in capitalist wrapping paper here. But globalism is a communist construct here. It's not going to cost American jobs. Americans aren't going to lose any jobs over this. We are the biggest market. Supply chain management. If the Chinese are buying, hundreds of tons of U.S. grain, it's not that easy to go out and find an alternative vendor that doesn't already have customers for his grain. If they're going to be buying, hundreds of thousands of hogs or cattle or whatever else, it's not that easy to replace your vendor for that amount of material overnight or very easily. As a function of time, could it be done? Possibly. But that buys us time to respond and respond intelligently to the points that Mr. Rice makes, which I understand those are all traditional economics, but traditional economics is what has got us in the hole that we're in right now. And specifically, during the downturn of 2007-2008, Bush and Obama administration later were doing everything they could do to stimulate the economy. Well, they weren't stimulating the economy in the USA because the jobs left. They went to Mexico and China. They were stimulating the economies in China and Mexico. U.S. didn't benefit from any of the U.S. physical stimulus that went on, or the tax stimulus, or the Federal Reserve stimulus. All of these things felt flat because the U.S. jobs were gone. It didn't work anymore. So it's time to rethink the whole economic global financial model and come to something that is parity. As Donald Trump says, we have an $870 billion a year trade deficit. That means we're buying $870 billion a year more stuff than right. We're selling. So they have more to lose than we do. We are their customer. We are their end user. And without us, they all go bankrupt. So I think what Trump is trying to do is simply level the playing field and return the advantage to the American worker here. And that, I support him in this 110%. And Mr. Rice, you make some very good points, and I compliment you. And I'm really glad to have someone as knowledgeable as yourself on here on the other half of this. And I appreciate your insights.
Well, Jack Rice, when we have our guests there, Mike Harris, talk about some of these jobs coming back to the U.S. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you know, if we're looking at an umbrella that's being sold in the U.S. for 99 cents that's made in China, we're looking at all these small little things that has gone out of the U.S. and is being manufactured so cheaply, made in China. How is the U.S. going to get back in the game? Can it do so? Look at the minimum wages in the U.S. and then you compare that. And I'm just looking from an outsider looking in who has no knowledge of anything, but looking at this simple fact of labor costs, is that a proper way of looking at it? And therefore, it debunks what Mike Harris says to bring back some of these jobs into the U.S.
Well, it's a wonderful point that you make, and I would agree with you. I mean, part of the dichotomy of it is this, is that Americans want cheap products. They want to buy an American flag for $3.99, regardless of if it's made in China or South Korea or any place else. They don't want to spend $35 if it's made in Montana. They may get an American little signal on it, but they're willing to pay less because they want it for less. That is part of the problem. But I would argue the globalization question is not a communist one, simply because from an American standpoint, again, we go back post-World War II, the purpose of globalism for the Americans frequently was creating markets so the U.S. could sell to those markets. And it's not about trade deficits. And I think this is where the president is wrong. I think it's not about trade deficits. What it's about is about market accessibility. It's about the ability for the Americans to get in. And China has absolute issues that have to be addressed, but it's about market accessibility. But the problem that we have right now is what the president has done when it comes to steel, as an example, is he's coming in with a sledgehammer when he needs to come in with a scalpel. It's about really being narrow, and his shift from talking about trade to calling it national security has changed the paradigm in a very, very difficult way. As an example, you got to look at what the Canadians have done. Their response to that was, are you suggesting that the Canadians are going to invade the U.S., that they're actually enemies of the U.S.? They're not. We just need to be very careful on how we approach it. And Mike's points are good ones. I simply think that it's slightly different than that. It's more complex than that. And it's also very difficult. In the end, when you find that what Americans really want and what's driving much of this is Americans want to buy a shirt for $3 rather than $30. And that's something that's going to be very difficult to fix. And that's going to be very difficult to bring jobs back to the United States when it comes to that manufacturing issue, because it's about demand.
Right. I had some comments about T-shirts made in America and how to break it down. But Mike Harris, we got 30 seconds to give you each. Mike Harris, I got to ask you about the EU. The EU had a common mutual point with the U.S. when it came to China in terms of the WTO. It was going to complain at the WTO against China. I think it went through with it. But we have seen now the EU getting closer to China. It seems like they're uniting perhaps against the U.S. Is that significant? Are we seeing that happen?
Well, first let me address Mr. Rice's other point there that Americans want to buy a $3 flag or a $3 shirt. Untrue. We don't. We want to buy a quality product for a fair price. Is $30 the right price? Maybe not. Maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $12. But we don't want to buy cheap stuff cheap. We want to buy a quality American product that we know is going to last and we can depend on. Now, what's going on with the EU? China has been a predatory trade practicer in every aspect. China is about making China number one, global domination, and they're doing it through trade and commerce, which I comment. What it merely forces the U.S. and the EU to do is we have to pick up our game, uh-huh. We have to get tougher, we have to get smarter, and we have to get more competitive in every aspect because China has the advantage of having an abundance of low-cost labor, and we have to overcome that advantage somehow.
Very well. I'm sorry, we're just going to have to end it there. We just don't have the time, but I'd like to thank our guest. You're listening to Mike Harris there talking to us. He is the financial editor of Veterans Today, and we had former CIA officer and attorney Jack Rice who joined us from Minneapolis. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the debate. From Mikhail Vitale, entire team of the Capitol, Tehran, it's goodbye.